The EU just passed a law that could end free speech as we know it. Within months, your phone will scan every message you type before you hit send. They call it chat control. They say it'll be about protecting kids, but if that's true, then why are predators still running around free while governments sit on millions of tips? And if it's not about protecting kids, who exactly is it designed to silence? By the end of this video, you'll see how this law follows the exact same playbook as the Patriot Act and SESTA FOSTA. Laws that promised safety, but delivered mass surveillance instead. Your phone already knows your face. Now imagine if it starts recording your private messages before you even hit send. That's what's about to happen in Europe. It's called chat control and it's being rolled out across the EU. The official pitch is to stop child abuse online, but what's actually being built is a surveillance system baked right into your phone. Here's how it works. Client-side scanning. Your device scans every message before you send it. Perceptual hashing. Your images get compared against a database of flagged material, even if they're cropped or filtered. AI classifiers, which are algorithms that predict if your message might be abusive or grooming, even if it's totally out of context. Here's what most people don't realize. Your encryption keys live on your device. That's what makes end-to-end encryption work. But if the scan happens before encryption, then encryption doesn't matter. The message was already scanned, flagged, and maybe even reported before it ever got sent. And this isn't happening on some company's server. It's happening locally on your device, your operating system, and your hardware. You won't see when the rules change, and you won't know what's being flagged. The database will grow quietly. Today, it's abuse, but tomorrow it could be dissent, processed messages, copyrighted PDFs, anything someone in power decides is harmful. But here's the question nobody's asking. If this is really about protecting children, why aren't they using the powers they already have? Governments already hold massive surveillance capabilities through subpoenas, geolocation, wiretaps, payment tracing, metadata matching, undercover stings, international warrants, and they've had them for years. And yet, predators are still everywhere. In the US, the agency tasked with handling abuse reports is sitting on millions of unprocessed tips. And these aren't just vague ones either. These are reports with usernames, IP addresses, timestamps, even confirmed files. Europol and Interpol have the same problem. Mountains of leads with little action. In Germany, the largest abuse forum ever discovered had over 3 million accounts. It ran openly for years, and the police never shut it down. They didn't even ask to take it down. A journalist made a single phone call and got it pulled offline in days. Meanwhile, in the US, known predators flagged multiple times have reoffended while their reports sat ignored. And in some cases, agencies kept forums alive just to watch what happens next, while real children were being harmed in real time. Even the elites are protected. The Epstein files remain sealed and politicians fall over themselves to keep that information hidden. And when a whistleblower exposed predator networks inside Roblox, he was banned, not rewarded. The predators are still there. The pattern is clear. Predators are inconvenient, whistleblowers get punished, and the system protects power first. Every mass surveillance rollout starts the same way. They pick a target so awful, no one wants to defend them. It could be child abusers, terrorists, or traffickers. It's deliberate because fear kills debate. And once fear is locked in, the playbook is always the same. First, point to something horrific. Next, target a group no one will defend. Third, build the infrastructure, be it scanners, backdoors, or ID systems. And fourth, expand the target list to everyone else. At first, it's abuse material. Then it's protest messages, leaked documents, memes, misinformation, or whatever's convenient. And here's the part most people miss. Once these systems exist, they never shrink. They just get passed on to new departments with new labels. We already have proof that this isn't a theory. Leaked EU documents show that Europe has been pushing to repurpose chat control, not for child protection, but for general law enforcement use. So what started as safety for kids is already being reframed for a power grab. And once that infrastructure is in place, they don't need to build anything new. They'll just quietly update the rules. But the question is, where have we seen this exact play before? You've seen this movie before, you just didn't realize how many crazy sequels there were. Governments don't roll back surveillance powers, they stack them. Every crisis becomes an excuse to expand, and once those powers exist, they stick. It all started back in 2001 with the Patriot Act. After 9/11, it was billed as temporary anti-terror law. It gave us mass metadata collection, secret courts, and dragnet programs still active 2 decades later. In 2018, we saw SESTA-FOSTA, marketed as anti-trafficking. Instead, it wiped out the online safety nets for sex workers and pushed people into dangerous offline situations. Even the DOJ itself admitted that it backfired. Around 2020, we had contract tracing for COVID. Around 2023, we have the UK Online Safety Bill, framed as protecting kids, but in reality, it just legalized scanning private messages for harmful content. A phrase so vague, it can cover almost anything. In 2025, we have UK digital IDs. It's sold as immigration control, but now creeping into banking, jobs, and healthcare. They'll need one ID tied to everything, and you're required to have it to get a job. Every one of these laws started with urgency. Every one ended in permanent control. Chat control is just the next chapter. It doesn't break the pattern, it perfects it. So the real question is, who actually benefits from making sure the cycle never ends? Let's be honest, this system isn't built for the people causing the most harm. The ones building the scanners are not the ones being watched. You are. And the incentives make it pretty obvious about why. Predators are messy. Investigating them takes time, resources, and political risk. Sometimes they're tied to powerful people or profitable accounts. But you're easy. You generate data. You use the apps. You're already plugged into the systems that can be silently updated overnight. Surveillance scales best on ordinary people. It's predictable, it's cheap, and it's profitable. Governments love it because it gives them leverage with tools to monitor, preempt, and pressure citizens without going through court. Platforms love it because data is money, and the most extreme users are often the most profitable. And among the public, most people won't even notice when the system flips on. They'll tap agree on the updates, skim past the new policy, and keep moving. By the time they feel the impact, it's too late. So ask yourself, if the powerful are shielded and the alarms are silenced, who is this really being designed to watch? If your phone can scan every photo you send before you hit send, how is it possible that governments can't process a basic abuse report? The infrastructure is already there, the reports are definitely there, but the few things that are missing are resources, will, and prioritization. If child protection really were the goal, here's what we'd be doing instead. First, fully funded, specialized units focused on child exploitation, not moderators in trauma sweatshops. Actual investigators that are trauma-informed and properly trained. Second, no more backlogs. Enforce deadlines, track outcomes, and make dashboards public. If a report has been sitting for months, people should know about it. Third, mandatory takedowns. If a file has been verified as abuse, it shouldn't still be online 2 weeks later. That should be automatic, fast, and standard. Fourth, cross-border coordination. Abusers don't stop at country lines, so why should law enforcement? Fifth, real accountability. The Epstein list is still sealed, and until that changes, until the powerful are held accountable, trust will stay broken. And sixth, support for victims. Not just platform bans and content removals, actual legal aid, ongoing safety, counseling, community care. And here's the best part. None of this requires breaking encryption. None of it requires scanning everyone's private messages. It just takes a little bit of money, courage, and the political will to stop using abuse as a smokescreen for building surveillance infrastructure. So if you're wondering how to push back, start here. Just share this video. Help people understand what's actually being built behind the curtain. Contract your representatives, especially in the EU. Support organizations like EDRI, NOYB, and the European Pirate Party. Any group standing up to this kind of quiet creep. Use tools that respect your privacy. Open source encryption, compartmentalize your digital life, and be intentional. And make sure you support whistleblowers. Lift them up and help them stay safe. Build takedown teams if you can, and work towards legal defense networks. And stay loud. Silence is what the system depends on to keep moving their control tactics. Because if this surveillance isn't being built to protect children, who is it really being built to watch? Once a scanner gets installed, it never goes away. It just gets reassigned. Governments don't build surveillance tools for one mission and then toss them. They rename them, expand them, and roll them into the next crisis. Each time, their power grows. Look at history. The Patriot Act was supposed to be temporary after 9/11. Over 20 years later, it's still the backbone of bulk surveillance, secret courts, and warrantless data collection. That's the real danger of chat control. Not what it's scanning for today, but how easily it can be pointed at something else tomorrow. The code is already in your pocket. All it takes is a quiet update, and suddenly the scanner isn't looking for predators, it's just looking for you. And you'll never know when the target shifts. So the real question is, what kind of society survives when surveillance becomes the default? We've seen this movie before. Chat control is just the next sequel, but this time the ending lands on you. Even gaming platforms didn't ban predators. They banned the whistleblowers exposing them. Over and over, it's the same pattern. Start with fear, expand control, and somehow the most dangerous people are never touched. Now they want to scan every device and call it child protection. But if that were true, predators wouldn't still be here. This was never about kids. It's all about power. The surveillance systems being built today aren't temporary, narrow, or secure. They're permanent. And unless we fight back, they won't be aimed at the next threat. They'll be aimed at us. So there's only one question left. What are you going to do about it?